This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household and only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Howdy.
It's really a bunch of mixed emotions right now. It's happy, sad, confused, unsettling. It was pretty secure having number four behind the center. And,
what is he, a faggot?
Be different for all of us.
It was just a shocker. I knew the day was coming, but I just really wasn't expecting.
What is he, a faggot?
On March 4th, which is his number, and have to deal with this loss. It's kind of sad.
Oh,
but
God.
I can't believe it. These guys are faggots.
At first, I didn't know what to think. We've been with him since I was 8 years old, you know. He's there every Sunday. Never
what is he, a faggot?
And, you know, it's like losing a part of your family. It really is. He's been with us for so long.
My heart stopped. I was very depressed and got upset and started crying. It's the end of an era in Green Bay. He's been the best thing that ever happened to us.
Kudos to you to see the reality of this.
Yes. Oh, please, of course.
My God.
And now just a brief snippet. The same, pretty much the same package, but done with the hokey music.
Oh, good.
Quarterback Brett Favre is retiring after 17 years in the NFL.
Favre leaves the game as a 17-year veteran, fresh off an outstanding season.
But it was the passion with which he played that has made everyone a Brett Favre fan.
What is he, a faggot?
He set several league records, including most career touchdown passes.
Three MVPs, a Super Bowl ring, more wins than any NFL QB.
None of these individual records would have happened had it not been for the fact that I played in every game.
The uniqueness of Brett Favre, his personality, charisma, and love of the game, undoubtedly will leave him as one of the enduring figures in NFL history.
Yeah, him and Abe Lincoln.
He's going away.
And I'm a fan. I'm a mega fan.
I know. Favre's gone.
It's embarrassing, for goodness sake.
Well, isn't he one of those guys that occasionally
people acting like this, like it was meant to be on the 4th because his number is 4 and he's like losing a member of the family.
Doesn't he change his mind occasionally?
Yeah.
He might come back.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
I really don't think. I think he's done. I mean, he's done this for the last 3 or 4 years with the will I, won't I, will I, won't
I. But, Don, he's got 2 good years. He ought to sign that deal, Wade. He's got 2 good years left.
Mm-hmm. I want Randy Moss there, Wade.
Yeah, I'm not coming back. I'm going to retire in the 4th. Coincidence?
And I also love that he's become Paul Bunyan in some ways that, when you hear them talk about Brett Favre, they say, well, you know what he'll do. He'll go down to his ranch, and he'll be happy just driving his tractor in circles and pulling large farm animals with his teeth. And
cutting down the biggest trees in the world.
Fishing and hunting and living off the land.
He'll start his own Brett Favre Museum, by golly. All the Packer fans can go down to Louisiana. That's where he's from, right, Louisiana?
Yeah.
He's from the Bayou.
No, Mississippi.
Oh, Bayou. Wow. Still the Bayou.
That's right. Same difference. Okay, here's what we'll open with today. You're going to hear a lot of this today. Regis Philbin gives and gives and will not stop giving.
This may be the greatest gift he's given us in weeks.
It's better than the colostomy.
Not to change the topic, but have you had a colostomy lately?
Right.
It's better than the anal thing.
Oh, wow. I guess the word is anal.
Anal.
Yeah, she likes that.
Damn right.
Yeah, it's a good one today. Here's the highlight.
I'm responsible for anal leakage.
I'm responsible
for
anal leakage.
This is the greatest one he's ever had.
I'm responsible for anal leakage.
Oh, man. It can't get any
damn
better
right.
than that. It can't get any better than that.
I'm responsible for anal leakage.
Now, did you hear his producer Gelman in the back saying, enough?
You know, yeah, let's move on, because I think, doesn't he mention lung cancer as well?
He mentions everything.
Oh, here he is.
God. Every malady you could have.
Out of control. Great. Roll it.
You know how sometimes you tell somebody this pill will cure all of your problems? You know what I'm saying?
But it might cause anal leakage.
She gets it started. No,
no, no. See what she's doing to me? Now I'm responsible for anal leakage. It's a very subtle trick that she employs to make me look bad.
You
No, I mean
you
it.
You are paranoid.
I'm talking. If I had a chance to explain what I was saying. The placebo. They give you a pill. They tell you this is going to cure it. And mentally you think, oh, my God, yes. And you feel a little better.
Power
sometimes.
Positive thinking, right. Yes.
Right. Yes. But a study published yesterday shows the well-known placebo effect works even better if the dummy pill costs a lot more. You see, we're all impressed by the prices of things. Isn't that true?
It's so true. It is so true.
If the shoes aren't selling for $800, they stink.
Yeah.
What about anal leakage, Regis?
Under $800? Well, sure.
Somehow, if something's on sale, you feel that it must be inferior in some way.
That's
right. You know, psychologically,
exactly
you're like,
right,
it's
sure.
on sale. What's wrong with it?
That's true.
Almost a little Larry there.
but you can't beat anal leakage, I'll tell you that.
I'm sorry, but if anybody's been watching these pill ads lately, they are out of control because they all cause that. All
pill
of
ads.
Them, all of them. And I want to know why. Why dry mouth and anal leakage?
Is there anything else you want to bring up? Lung cancer, dry mouth, anal leakage?
Stop.
Here's the producer,
have a
stop.
Nice day, you know what I'm saying?
No, you came to the wrong
place.
He's just like a radio producer, you know. He knows. Man. He knows the rules. Don't repeat it a lot.
Right.
I'm responsible for anal leakage.
Stop.
Right.
Wow. Damn right.
That's right. Say it again, Regis.
I'm responsible for anal leakage.
Anal leakage.
Absolutely brilliant.
Thank you, Simon.
I'm not happy.
What do you think of that?
Cabaret.
Okay, Simon.
I better bring my rubbers.
Why is that, Regis?
I guess the word is anal.
What happens after that?
I'm responsible for anal leakage.
I guess the word is anal. Not to change the topic, but have you had a colostomy lately?
Who knew that he would be such a great shock jock?
He's getting better every day.
I'll just be your secret lover.
I'm responsible for anal leakage.
Of course you are.
Is everybody happy?
I'm responsible for anal leakage.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Wow.
Vagina!
Absolutely brilliant.
Thank you again, Simon.
I think he misremembers.
How about you, McCain?
I brandished dynamite.
I know you did.
It smells like a bunch of farts got in a fight.
Shut up.
I'm responsible for anal leakage.
About the phone number.
Let's pick a phone and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Oh, boy.
That was funny.
I thought so too, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Damn right.
Hi.
Welcome to our show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm having trouble getting it in his mouth.
I'm responsible for anal leakage.
I knew that was coming.
Well, it's been a long time. It's been a long time.
It has.
Cabaret.
I know. Here's Big Ed. Ed McMahon.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm responsible for anal leakage.
I know.
Regis.
Damn right.
Stop it. Hi there, Don and Mike Show. How the heck are you? Wednesday. Our phone number is same as it was yesterday. 877-365-3636.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. First call, brand new show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yes, as we're jamming with Nick Lowe.
How do you do?
You have to
mighty. The mighty Brett Favre.
Cruel to be kind.
Absolutely brilliant.
I agree. Great song. What about this caller?
Absolutely useless.
Cabaret. I thought it was cabaret.
Cabaret.
What is cabaret anyway?
Let's give him a shot. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don and Mike. The mighty Brett Favre traded his pads in for some real comfortable jeans.
Yeah, down on the farm, ball bunion.
That is the picture that they want to paint.
Yes.
They want to paint the picture that he's just going to go off and have a piece of straw in his teeth. And...
Not if I have my say, because I am a political activist, and I see it. I see it as clear as day. Nope. Congressman, Senator Brett Favre. Mm-hmm.
All I can tell you is, speaking of politics, All of my calls to Ohio paid off last night.
They did.
I knew you'd rub my nose in that. Your man won last night. Your man won convincingly.
On the way home, I just said, what is the area code for Columbus, Ohio?
Right.
I just started making up phone numbers and dialing.
You know, I was saying to myself, maybe if I'd been a little bit nicer.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. The experiment's over as far as I'm concerned.
Really?
I will not make calls to another state.
That's it.
I won't make calls to it because it backfired on me. It solely backfired. All my calling backfired.
I said to my Buckeye friends and I said to my Longhorn friends,
right,
who's the best man for the job? You got to go with Hill. Hill's the man for the job.
Well, you know what I did do? I saved those phone numbers that I had called on Tuesday night. Actually, it was Sunday night that I called. I saved those phone numbers and I called back today. And every message, the same one. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Great job. Great going.
Hope you had a hell of a piss, Arnold.
Great going, Ohioan, whatever they call you, Ohioite,
Buckeye.
I found all of that stuff last night. Infinitely.
A lot.
More enjoyable than American Idol.
Really? Good.
Ugh.
Yeah, American Idol sucked again.
Someone really must tell these people, if you're going to come out and sing a song, there's a reason that Phil Collins isn't popular anymore.
Well, it's amazing. We know the 80s because we were DJs spinning records in the 80s, and we know how bad some of that music was. Could they have picked any worse collection of records than they did last night?
Don't think twice. It's another day in paradise. No. Oh, I want to slap that kid.
And then Danny Noriega.
There was only one good moment that Rob picked up on the TiVo. I didn't even hear. It was after Danny Noriega sang. Listen very carefully. I'm sorry, the stripper guy. What's his name?
Hernandez.
I get the names mixed up. Danny Noriega is the...
Can we call him Nando now? Yeah. Now that he's been outed as a male stripper that does nude lap dances on men's laps.
Nando, that's a good
Nando.
Way.
Nando.
There are three of these tools we got to keep an eye on. Nando.
Danny Noriega.
Then you've got the kid with the purple hair.
Yeah.
And then you've,
Danny Noriega.
And then you've got the female or the male dancer.
Well, right. Who's the third, then? We've got...
The kid that you think is going to win. What's his name?
David Archuleta.
Right. Okay. Ugh. I keep thinking he's Noriega.
What's great, though, is David Archuleta.
He looks like a Noriega to me.
You can listen to Danny Noriega. Not Danny Noriega. You got me sidetracked there. David Archuleta. I like listening to David Archuleta breathe, because he breathes like Dennis Murphy. Every verse of his song, he will go... That's why he is always... So excited. He's had some issue. He talked about that at the beginning.
Yeah.
He's had some medical issue, which is what?
Anal birth.
Sex change.
So anyway,
forget it.
When the guy who has been a male dancer, we talked about this cat yesterday, when he gets done singing,
Hernandez.
Simon Cowell says, and you got to listen for it, I like the way you strip to that.
Uh-huh.
Listen carefully. I missed it. I didn't hear
really?
It on TV. Here it is now.
Oh, Simon is so cruel.
I like the way you stripped of that. Listen to it again.
Now, is he saying that to Paula? Is he? Because Simon
yes.
is the most guilty for whispering during the performances.
He's giving her, Rob hit me to it. If you watch it, he's feeding her a line.
Oh, he's saying, I like the way you stripped to that?
Yeah, he's saying it in Paula's ear like she like she should say that.
Yeah, like he's setting her up.
Uh-huh.
He's hoping she's dumb enough to go ahead and say that.
I like the way you stripped to that.
And he said, and you can hear the whole thing. He said, "Say I like the way you strip to that."
Mm-hmm. One more time, then we'll move on.
Say I like the way you
strip
to that.
I love Simon more now.
The spin today is he didn't know his mic was on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, you know, they have to be like presidential candidates. They have to be careful with everything they say.
I don't know. I'm waiting for something to be better on another channel.
Right.
If that exists, let me know because it's
well. Let me point out to you my love of my life's favorite show, The Biggest Loser. She watches it because she thinks of me.
All I got to do is look in the mirror. why would I watch a TV show about my life?
You know, it's 2 hours every night it's on, and
wow.
And she TiVos it, and so I get upstairs to the main TV in the marital bed. And I want to watch election coverage, and I want to watch American Idol, and I want to go back and forth. But I can't do that because when you're recording two things,
mm-hmm.
American Idol and
right.
The Biggest Loser, there it is. And it's sacred. I can't touch it. I have to go downstairs into another TV room
right.
where I don't want to go if I am going to watch election coverage last night. It was very, very frustrating. I do not watch The Biggest Loser,
as you mentioned, it's like looking in the mirror.
Yeah, no kidding.
God, that's frustrating.
Is that NBC?
Yes. I don't know.
Yes.
One of them networks.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike, what's up?
Hey, what's happening with you?
All right.
It's just all right for me.
Hey, check this out. I just thought I'd say that.
Dog, you're bringing it. You brought it tonight. It's go time.
It was just all right for me.
He's doing his caller.
Two words for your show.
You are all of the colors of my farts.
I'd like to see Simon say
well,
that.
Confucius say, man who eat jelly beans in bed, fart in technicolor.
You have such a good spirit, and you're like the colors of my farts. Paula, duh.
Guy with fake dreads, duh.
We don't have anything to say, duh, so now let's pick on Simon. Let's make our little hand gestures like Simon does because we're too stupid to say anything else. All right, check this out, dog.
Hey, what's happening? Okay, go ahead. Hi, welcome to the show.
Your time.
Yeah, two words for your show.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
That's,
well, that's what she said last night as well.
Thank you.
Hi, Pete.
All right.
Peace out. Thank you very much.
Right. Word to all the mothers out there. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, turn that down, please.
Soft.
No, okay, no, it's cool. No, it's not.
No.
We hear something.
Bye. Don't ever lie to us.
All right. You lied to me, Dan.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. I won't be ignored. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Yes, hi to you.
Guys, don't y'all think that Danny Noriega would make one of the best drag queens in history?
Danny Noriega would be seriously able to go down to Miami and perform as Angelina Jolie or Jessica Alba. He could do it tomorrow.
I know.
The purple hair boy?
Purple hair boy. Mm-hmm.
He should just give up trying to be American Idol and go do that.
Very feminine.
Yeah. You know, are those – I've never been to one of those drag shows down. Do they have – shut up, Rob. Do they have shows like that really in Miami where the Birdcage was filmed? Would you be able to go down and see a Danny – I mean, do they have real old-fashioned drag show?
You do not remember.
What?
When we went to Miami with Matt Elliott.
Yeah. Well, you don't need to say anything
say
more.
Say no more.
There was a time – It might have been the very same day that we saw Dennis Rodman, that day we were all sitting out there having lunch.
I'll never
lunch.
Forget that. We're on the Ocean Boulevard, and we're eating lunch in an outdoor place, and he comes walking by with his entourage. It was very cool.
At that point, it was the three of us, Bart, myself, and Matt Elliott, on a search for real Cuban cigars.
Right.
Because we kept going to cigars places, and they were all fakes. He said, let's get in a cab and go towards, like, Little Havana.
Okay.
And the closer we got, we went into a bar, and it was... we talked about this. A low rent birdcage. It was like the birdcage in real life.
So they had like a drag show.
Yes, it was men with stubble on their faces that were wearing bikinis and looked like they were halfway through their operations.
I cannot wear shoes; they make me fall down.
And I remember because Bart had to sit outside.
Yes,
and Matt wanted to stay.
He wasn't old enough to. He was looking for a bar.
Right. I didn't know.
Shock.
Technically, you're with your son, so it's not as bad as some of the other abductions. But technically, you know, Matt Elliott got you alone in a drag bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like he got Rob when he was chasing Rob and Stimpy around naked.
Well,
and just like he got me up to his hotel room when he was in his yellow boxers.
Mm-hmm. And whispered to me on a dance floor.
No, Buzz is the winner, though.
He whispered. Didn't he whisper to you at a
I
softball game?
I could make you bleed.
I could make you bleed. Yes, I have that on a plaque now.
He tried to abduct all of us at one time or
Can
another.
Can you blame him?
Jeez. Rob, you still in touch?
Not really. Right.
For those who don't know, a former player in the NFL.
Offensive lineman.
With the Redskins, most famous for when training camp broke. Stopping by our show after the Redskins are done with training camp in Pennsylvania 2 hours away, stopped by our show that day, brought his playbook in, and allowed us to read it on the air.
And created an S-storm of controversy. Got in tremendous trouble with the Washington Redskins.
They called him in the next day like, are you stupid?
Right.
Are you stupid? You bring your playbook in.
He was scared.
Yeah.
You were cajoling him,
mm-hmm.
and he finally gave it up to you. And, you know, I could have told him this because I'd worked with you for years, and I could have told him anything that's in print, you're going to read it. If you have a microphone and anything printed in front of you, you're going to read it. Right. You open it up.
Plus,
and you immediately started, you know, red burglar slide right. You know, yeah. And he's like, no, don't say that.
It's all the stuff no one understands.
Right. But, except, you know, Belichick.
Yeah, right. Anyway, he was a weird cat because he came on. Yeah, you're right. He came on in some ways to everybody. But Buzz is the all-time winner.
Yeah.
This was after a charity softball game.
Flat-out propositioned Buzz.
Just, we're in a bar, and walks up behind him, and just, I could make you bleed.
Now, for my money, that is not a normal thing to come out of an offensive lineman's mouth. That really isn't said. And, you know, there's no way. He wasn't talking about scraping your knees.
No, I don't think so. I think he was kidding.
Of course he was kidding.
He was kidding.
Yeah, he was kidding.
He was just kidding like that same time I was in his hotel room, and he said, you know, why don't you come up? I'm almost ready. And I went up, and he comes out of the bathroom, and I'm sitting in one of those little a hotel room is a small area.
Yeah, I know, Jackson.
You know, standard hotel room in any major hotel in the United States is a small area. And usually you got a couple of beds, maybe regular-sized beds, and you have one of those little chairs. Mm-hmm. And I push this chair into the corner, making myself as small as possible, as he paraded around the room in his yellow boxers, and I was frightened to death. I think after that I said, "Listen, I'm going to go down and wait for you. I'm going to go get a drink in the lobby."
Mm-hmm. You needed it,
and I think I escaped. I really do.
There's an unspoken code with guys. We've all been on the road. You have to room with somebody. Right. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Everybody's had to do it. You know, you get mixed with whoever. Not that anything's a deal breaker, but
Mike is dribbling water all over himself.
I'm thinking, you start talking like this in my memory banks, you know, they fire up, and I just think about you and me.
Well,
you know, but you and I have been through so many different experiences that it's
we're the exceptions to the rule, darling. We're like the old married couple. There ain't nothing. Mike and I have had to.
Fed together many times.
If we have to get our eat on together, it's fine. If we have to sit around and drink and smoke together, it's fine. If we have to ignore other people at the expense of simply sitting in a room like to throw stuff out a window at them, we'll do it.
We'll do it.
We've done it. And the beauty of it is that we'll do it in our robes.
You found the memory.
In our complimentary hotel robes.
Our complimentary, that were different colors after we got done eating the various greasy foods that we were eating.
Our robes that are like, this is the highest quality robe I've ever had. Do you have a napkin? No, I don't
need
either. No, let's just use the robe.
Immediate wing orange stains.
Oh.
But there is a code with guys. There is a code in there, and you know, it's our animal instinct. You know when it's been violated. You know when there is something amiss.
And in the case of when you and I, and it's been more than that time, when we've roomed together.
Right.
You know, and we've actually been, like, in the situation where there were two beds in one room.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike's in one bed, and I'm in the other bed. Now, here's the beauty of this. No one's going to be a turd burglar.
Yeah.
There's not a chance.
Right.
No matter what dream happens, no matter how much alcohol or back in the day anything was ingested.
How cold it gets in the room.
Right.
It's not going to matter.
It's not even going to be a cannibalism thing. Right. It's not going to be the song Timothy by the Boys.
Right.
It's going to be you and I will each freeze to death before we even try to get near each other for warmth. I understand that. I appreciate that. I dig that about
it's you. It's a financial thing, too. You know,
sure.
If you're on the road, and this is true, especially with guys that go on road trips for golf trips and all that, you know, a lot of that happens, and it's necessity, it's financial necessity.
Oftentimes.
So you're not going to have the room to yourself. Obviously, if you could, you'd probably prefer that. But if you don't, you know, you room with guys, and you know, I've done it with my brother-in-law on the road.
I remember
one of my very first trips to Atlantic City. I still remember the name of the motel that I stayed at in Atlantic City. It was called the Algiers.
Memories.
It was the Algiers, and we went down.
Great
there.
Great network.
And we
Al Jazeera. Yeah.
I was in. You know, we had the twin beds in there, and we were awakened at about 7 o'clock in the morning by a mating ritual, the likes of which I have never heard, in the room right next to ours. And it was one of those deals where I was on my left side, he was on his right side. We were facing each other with the little nightstand in between us. Mm-hmm. And we hear this woman who it had to be the best sex of her life because the sound she was making. And it was one of those deals where it was so loud, I was almost going to say right out of the box.
Damn right.
It was so loud that all we did was open our eyes. And I look right, and we're looking right at each other. Now, if you can go through a moment like that,
yeah, making eye contact,
we still talk about how funny that was, you know. But it was a different time.
Also, there have been many times that we've been traveling. Just when we travel as a group, uh-huh. If we would get to a hotel and there'd only be one nice room, rather than flip a coin or like fight over it, uh-huh. Mike and I would always just say, "Screw it, uh-huh. We will take the best room together."
Yes, yeah, because it usually had like the additional room, or
sure.
You know, had the mini
a
bar.
Couch.
Yeah, it had the nice stuff in
and
it.
And a lot of times it would have more than one mini bar in it.
Sure.
And my God, we are like two happy queens. Like, oh, the rest of them have regular rooms. Look at, we have this big king size room.
Do you remember what hunyaks we were when they gave us, and I still remember the name of it, they gave us both, they were called the Givenchy Suite at the Vista International Hotel, the same hotel where Mary and Barry got busted.
Ah.
And they gave us these suites, and we were just like, look at that tub.
We literally were running through these. To call it a hotel room was not true.
Oh, they were so neat.
They were apartments.
Yep.
They were apartments. And we were just running around like Tom Cruise in Risky Business, like, look at all this expensive crap.
They gave us the room for free. And we,
wow.
I mean, really, we died and gone to heaven. That's all it took back then. That is all it took. It was so exciting. We didn't want to leave the room.
Luxury
fantastic.
And togetherness.
Well, you know what it's like, Buzz.
Oh,
you
sure,
get a, you get a freebie as a DJ.
Absolutely.
You get a freebie, and it's just the greatest thing in the world.
I know a lot of times you've had to room with people.
Not a lot, but
travel.
Rob and I did share a room at least once, I think, in all our travels.
You know.
Rob, how many roommates, who have your most interesting roommates been over the years?
I know he shared a bed with Wendell Hall.
Yeah, you shared a bed.
A room,
a bed.
Probably.
Did you share a room with Wendell?
Oh, really? I'm sorry. I misspoke.
Daryl Nichols.
You shared a bed with him. I forgot.
Yeah, it was bunk beds. King-size bunk beds.
Who else did you have your
room
with?
I think only Daryl and Buzz.
Really?
Yeah.
You shared a room with Buzz?
Yeah, because keep in mind, I've not traveled with the show the whole history of the show.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
But Buzz is a fine roommate. I hope he thinks the same of me.
I do. It worked out well, I thought.
Is he fastidious and neat and kind of like Felix Unger? When
yeah,
he's...
well, we're both Felix Unger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. You're both neatniks.
So it worked out okay. And he's got the softest hands.
Right. Like, even in the morning, you're Felix Unger.
What does that even mean?
I just, you know, I know that Don and I have both spoken about the fact that in the morning, there's usually one thing that happens very first thing in the morning. And I would imagine you're kind of in our, you know, in our section of the men's store.
I was healthier then.
Yeah.
It was some time ago. Now it might be another issue.
Right. I think in that situation with a stranger, because I'm not immune to that. I think in that situation with a stranger, you suppress it. You wait. You plan it out. You work it out.
So that's the beauty.
You don't let that happen.
That's the beauty.
I went to the lobby in my robe.
If you're in the room with a person you're comfortable with,
We do. God, you and I would do it on airplanes.
Let it go. Oh, that's the best place to fart because you don't have to worry about the noise. And as soon as it starts to creep out. Uh-huh. It really could be anybody.
Sure.
I am convinced, and I've always had this theory about you, that you could conceivably hold it from your car parking at the airport through a 1 hour wait in the terminal to getting on that plane.
Just
and then
so.
Wait.
Yeah.
Just so. Uh-huh. Because I know it brought you so much joy. And so many times I would sit down there always demanding, you know, the window seat, the way I demand the window seat.
No problem, you're a nervous flyer.
And then just I'd look over and you'd have that smirk on your face. And I'd be, oh, my
right,
God.
I mean,
and the magic is it would hang heavy, get in the air system, and then when you turned on your little blower thing up top.
It's there again.
The entire plane would get it. It was like the worst can of Glade you ever bought.
Incredible.
Yeah. That's great, farting on an airplane.
Airplanes are still the worst.
Yeah.
I think as far as farts.
Very
I mean, it's
insane.
Absolutely. You have people on planes constantly that do that.
Oh, and Buzz, why am I not surprised? You had that thing on the news yesterday about what a ripoff Airborne is.
Right.
Why am I not surprised? Of course. I've bought that stuff like a placebo and thought.
We had the lady on that created it.
Yeah. Because you always, I always take it before I go on an airplane.
Yeah.
I always take it before I'm around like a bunch of little kids who might have flu symptoms or something like that. It turns out it's really nothing. It's like a Necco wafer.
I remember taking it and getting sick.
It's vitamins.
It's a vitamin pill like an Alka-Seltzer.
Yeah. I remember taking it and getting one of the worst colds of my life. I remember it vividly.
You should call the law offices of Johnny Cochran because they're giving out $23 million to everybody.
It's a class action suit. Right?
Everybody in the world gets money.
I'd take it. I remember having that lady on. We got free samples of it.
And it was expensive.
And we were eating it like there was no tomorrow because it was the middle of the winter. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting sick after that. So maybe I will collect some.
There was a huge press. Do you remember the celebrity they had come on the show to endorse it?
No.
The great Charlene Tilton.
Oh, my God. That's right.
Yeah.
How do you remember
from
that?
From Dallas.
It was like the only reason we had her on those, ask her if she'd ever been laid.
Right.
Like, all our dirty questions.
Airborne. What a tragedy.
It is.
Yeah. It's a shame.
$23 million. I mean, okay, so the product doesn't work. That's part of the problem that's wrong with America. One. I mean, Christ.
Oh, absolutely.
So something doesn't work, so we're going to sue them?
Lawsuit.
Yeah. I bet just don't buy the product. Just say it's a piece of crap. Let it go away.
Wait a minute. Does any cold remedy, is it a lock? Is any cold remedy a real lock? No.
No.
It runs its course.
Right. No, not except for Chris Berman. Do, do, do.
It's aspirin, Canadian aspirin with little codeine in it.
Now, listen, I would be remiss if I did not mention, right before I left the house today, I had the pleasure of watching Bush.
Hey.
Yeah, I was watching some nice porno.
Hey.
Way
to
go, yeah, Scott. Bush.
What about the vagina?
Exactly. Wow. Wrong Bush.
Vagina!
Wrong Bush. We're at this guy right here.
Fancy digs you got here.
Man, if I'm John McCain right now, I swear to God, I'm thinking what I went through in Hanoi was a million times better than having President Bush endorse me today.
Right.
Here, just a couple of snippets.
All right.
First off, Bush is today just the swinging of swing his dicks.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out and he's ready to roll. And
he's the man.
And McCain is standing beside him but behind him. Bush is kind of inching in front.
Sure.
Kind of the way that you and I used to do when we get our pictures taken.
Or would there be a camera around and stuff like that. Right. We fight for position.
Right. And that's what Bush is doing. So McCain, you know, caves and gives him the ground. And right away, Bush starts talking about he's going to make a great president, who's a guy who's in the Oval Office, and he says, I've been the president since 2000, and it has been spectacular.
Wow.
And he grabs his arm that way, that spectacular. Looking around, there's silence.
Right.
I don't remember what the joke is that he made, but he made a joke.
Okay. Didn't go over like all of
nobody laughed at, and he had that look on his face again, like, oh, this is so funny.
Right.
And then they start saying to McCain, Senator McCain, who are you thinking about for your running mate? McCain says, well, I didn't want to talk about it until now because it was really kind of premature. Mm-hmm. Bush jumps in and says, let's face it, the vice president, really not important. You don't vote for the vice president. You vote for the man who's going to be sitting right here in the Oval Office.
He is just full of himself today.
Wow. And McCain is sitting there, like he's got a lot of color in his face to begin with. But it's like every bit of color in his face has just gone down to the soles of his shoes.
Was it obvious seeing the two together how much animosity they have towards one another? Because that's what I hear behind the scenes. These two guys really, no matter what's happened recently, they don't really like each other.
My take on this was someone said to McCain, this is going to be one of the last S sandwiches you're going to have to eat.
Yeah, you got to do this. It's tradition.
Go out with goofball.
You have to.
And the question that they wouldn't answer was, you know, they said, are you going to go out and campaign for McCain? And, of course, then the press corps wants to say, well, you know, you got an approval rating of 25. What good would it do to go out?
you're an albatross, Mr. President.
And they didn't want to answer, but Bush was, you'll see it tonight on the news.
Good.
It's so great. It's him, classic him, that he's just out there. And he thinks he's just hit a home run.
Mm-hmm.
Really? And you can tell when they're walking away, because he gets mad at the press, because he's out there, Bush is running this thing for McCain, and he says to him at one point, now here's how you do it. You call out the reporter by name, like McCain's never
done. Oh, so he's being slick, funny, George. Oh.
Like McCain's at a press conference. He says, like you say, Kelly. Mm-hmm. And some other girl stood up and he said, no, not you. Well, you go ahead. Then Kelly.
Kelly.
And then at the very end of it.
That's the way you do it, John.
At the very end of this thing, of this abortion today, he says, and one more question. Where's Wolf? Where's Wolf? Now you got a bunch of reporters that are screaming out, Mr. President, Mr.
Right.
President. Where? And he says, no, not you.
I want Blitzer.
He said, not you, not you, not you. Where's Wolf? So finally, I'm guessing Wolf Blitzer yells out a question again about, with your low a percentage of appeal to Americans, how can you go out and campaign? And at that point, Bush says, I want to say I'm very disappointed that the press is yelling out stuff and barking out, and you're very unprofessional, and you've really ruined a great moment. Thank you. God bless the United States of America.
Oh, man. And he walks away.
And as they walk, you know, they're out there by the Rose Garden.
Right.
So as they walk down that little pathway to go back inside.
They hold hands?
You see Bush is opening the door, and he's putting his hand on McCain's back like, boy, I set you up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And McCain is like, he's walking back into the Hanoi Hilton again.
He's saying, can I get out of here as soon as possible?
Set him up.
I've got to get out of here.
McCain, and when they asked him how the president was going to help him, he basically said, well, I'd like the money that he can help me get.
Sure.
He can help me get money.
He'd like some quiet fundraisers. Some very quiet. I think, really, I will be very surprised to see any campaign appearances with the two of them.
Yeah.
The way I understand it, this is it. This is obligatory. This is what the nominee has to do. Uh-huh. And now he's, George, thank you so much. See you later.
You are a junkie for stuff like this. Watch this, and you'll love it, because it is just Bush seizing the moment. And, again, he doesn't have his hair's not brushed. I mean, Bush. Like, his hair's not combed. He's got the wild-ass hair going every
Yeah, it's windy. It's windy out here, son.
He's out there waving his arms around, and he says, like, you know, I'm the and it's been spectacular.
It's dang windy out here.
He's doing arm movements like, yeah, yeah. And McCain's standing there like trying to look presidential, I guess.
Yeah, I was greedy last night. I was, you know, I hate it. Now. I hate it when you have to wait.
Right.
I'm spoiled by the technology. I like those exit polls. I like when they declare those winners right when the polls close. But it was too close in Texas. So, you know, it was the waiting game last night. And, you know, you got to see all the pundits all there. And I watch CNN pretty much exclusively, because they've got the most bodies that are there. They've got the rows. And they prioritize the rows of campaign coverage. You know, you've got the first row, which is apparently the A-team. And then you got the guys in the back that are the junior pundits that are back there.
Oh, I've seen that on CNN, right? And Anderson Cooper last night was definitely doing that thing where he poses a question without a question, like, or can she will? We'll be back in a moment. And he makes
does that quizzical look in the camera, right?
Almost like he's a villain on the Batman TV show. Like,
right.
You know, or do I know that you're really Bruce Wayne?
So we're going to have more conversation about this, right?
Right.
We'll be right back on CNN.
Right?
Yeah.
Superman. I mean, Clark Kent. Excuse me. Kal-El.
Well, it goes on now. More, as I said, more baseball games to watch. Looking forward to it.
Pretty good stuff.
You might be right, though. You know, it's going to come down to a dogfight with your guy.
My man. Then let's bring in Michael Vick to referee it. It's a dogfight.
They're going to go after each other.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
This is Noriega. This is Danny Noriega. And no, I'm responsible for anal leakage.
Say, that's pretty much a lock.
No arguments here.
Not at all.
No. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike. I also caught Simon's little rant about Melchor Hernandez singing last night under his breath. I think he said, if you listen again, he says, I like the way he stripped it down.
All right, hold
no,
on.
No, no way.
No, he leans over to Paula Abdul, but we'll listen to it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, all right, guys. I love you.
All right. Love you, too.
I love you.
See you later.
He's feeding her a line.
Man, it goes by so fast, you really have to listen for it again.
Say,
I like the way you strip.
Exactly. That's what he says to her.
To that.
Mm-hmm. Wonder if he was giving it to Paula or Randy. Because you know what? That would be one that he would feed to Randy.
Paula, I hear.
Oh, really? It was Paula?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What are you doing?
Right.
Check this out. I like the way you stripped to that, dog. That would be huge. And I'm not sure whether they're trying to qualify. A producer from American Idol said that the stripping thing they're not concerned about, and they're talking about that girl Frenchie that was booted off the show for showing her boobs on the internet.
Baby,
and everybody's saying, it's not fair, but it seems to me that if you were on the internet and everybody saw you naked, if that was their standard, you know, what he did working at a bar, who knows? I'm not sure.
But the guy's not going to win the competition anyway. I mean, who cares? That's the one thing that I did enjoy last night. Simon Cowell did say to some guy, you've got no chance of winning.
Wow.
Yeah.
The guy who sang Wham.
That guy's horrible.
Oh, God.
Wake me up before you go-go.
All he's got is a voice that's up here. Wake me up before. I mean, the most annoying. I don't know how this guy got through.
You know how he got through?
I want to kill him when I hear him sing.
He sang Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
Wow. And he's got that Freddie Mercury-like voice where he did kill it on that one part. He was great.
And he's the pro. He's the guy that's gone on a boy band
tour. Oh, that's right. He's like on the Teletubby thing for with a karaoke or a cappella.
Yeah, it's an a cappella group, I guess, that's traveled the country. So he's a professional singer, and he's highly annoying.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I have a quote here from TMZ. It says, "Say I like the way you stripped it down."
Say I. You know what? Thank you, my friend. That would even be better. That's Simon.
So that might be Simon feeding Paula to feed Simon.
No.
If he wants Paula to say, "I like the way you stripped it down."
I think he's giving her the joke.
Yeah. Yeah, but then Simon could react to that. You know, I mean, who knows what he's doing? I mean, I don't know.
Thing they don't have on that show is any kind of cohesion as far as who's going to talk when,
right, or for how long.
And they all do the thing now with this.
Yeah. Yeah. Smashing the mic pedestal.
Shut up.
I'm talking.
What?
She bangs around if you play this clip of Paula from last night.
Oh, she is the worst with mic technique.
Paula.
She bangs.
Also, she is so not following even her own train of thought.
Yeah, but she did bring the twins out to play last night. She brought the guns out last night.
You wanted to get into discussion about how good those things look?
You know what? I think if you are making the case that they are not all that bountiful, you might be right. We might be at IHOP.
I think the word is spider legs. I think that she's got big, big blue veins that run right from the nip all the way to the areola and maybe cover the breast almost, like ivy.
It struck me that they were the kind that are flat on top and then have the BBs down at the end.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
The word is push up.
Yeah, she needs something.
This is unedited from last night.
Although it's a level of difficulty, you made it sound so effortless with ease. And I am so glad that you showed a beautiful vulnerability. And you are great in front of the guitar and leaving it down. That, there's something. Wow. First of all, let's give it all the guys. You're great so far. Great job. Amazing.
Sounds like Bob Ryan's weather.
And Jason, you are exactly what I'm loving about this season is you are unique and you are definitely recognizable in your technique. And I think that your phrasing is what makes you great.
God. Wow. I mean, really, and you see Simon and you know he feels it.
Uh-huh.
He wants to stab her with a fork.
Wants to kill her.
Because she is just... She's not. It's rambling would be a compliment for what she's doing.
Mike, I just want to say you are so right about Buzz.
Huh?
Man, that's a pretty picture on your wall.
You got me with that one.
Sunshine is very bright coming down through. But Mike, your impressions on the show are so right on. And Robert the Mailman has a big hat that looks like Horton Hears a Who.
Are you finished yet?
Did you like it?
Stream of consciousness, Paula.
Look at my spider boobs. Look at my spider vein boobs.
Well, one of the reasons I do not care for American Idol this year is the panelists, the judges, are making me nuts. They don't have the rhythm they've had in the past years. They really don't. And Paula is the main reason. And Simon's getting frustrated with more than anybody else. She is just going on. You just heard what she does. She has no ability to string a sentence together that is coherent, and it's driving me insane.
Mm-hmm. He'll let it sit there. That would be a car wreck.
Yeah.
And sometimes Randy Jackson. And, wow, good luck on that Beaties. It really looks to me like you're doing a good job. Keep running that commercial of the fattest man on television saying how he's turned his life around.
Well, he tries to prop her up, too. Randy will try, if she really starts going on a tangent, he will try to prop her up, and then it becomes more of a CF than it was to start with.
I was just going
to
say, and a lot of times when he actually struggles and shifts himself in the chair when she's rambling, he will go, Simon Cowell, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think?
You know what? I think the reason is, when we're talking about the lack of talent from the contestants this year, she has a very difficult time in fabricating nice things to say,
mm-hmm,
because they're so awful, and she's got to do it this year more than ever.
You know, the British version, the Pop Idol show, the X Factor, whatever it is,
right,
the judges on that are that old British turd that's on the talent show, the guy with gray hair,
right,
the British guy, or maybe on the dancing show, one of those old British guys.
The guy that with, I mean, the real old man, right?
Yeah. And Sharon Osbourne, mm-hmm, and Simon Cowell.
And they're all nasty, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's really, really good because Sharon Osbourne is the nicest.
You know,
but
you,
even Sharon Osbourne,
tough.
She's like, she'll say, you do not belong in this competition.
You know what? You just hit on something. I think to maybe give that show a boost for next year or the year after, maybe you do get a little more of that. Maybe you share the wealth with Simon because it is too much. I think it's driving people away. Mm-hmm. You know, their ratings are down, and I think that one of the reasons is it's just so forced. And then when they can't think of anything to fabricate to say nice about the contestants, they turn it on to Simon.
Right.
And it's just lousy television.
Why don't they just give us what we want? The Simon Show.
Yeah.
Three nights a week.
Everybody likes
Simon
it.
Simon Cowell simply opining on anything that he wants to.
Mm-hmm. I think I could
Simon Cowell ripping on whoever he wants to rip on.
You know what I think I'd like to see?
The whole
see?
Time standing there ignoring the fact that he's got big mitts.
I'd like to see you could go with a catty homosexual in the first chair. You know, a guy that really says catty things, but he's kind of nasty.
Like, like Carson, what's his name?
Like a Carson
Perfect.
Guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Then you put somebody, you put a piece of ass in the middle
mm-hmm.
who doesn't really have to say anything. But, you know,
you get, you get one of the useless Destiny's Child. Because there's Beyonce who's good, and the second chick who's good, and the third chick who's, like, gone, right?
Right.
You get her. Because she got some background. You say, hey, she was in Destiny's Child.
Right.
What about, you know what? What about a diva? Why don't you get Diana Ross?
No, you
she
know
could
what?
Be a bitch.
You could. That is a way of, but that's like going down the Paula Abdul road.
True, but I bet Diana Ross would have more pointed things to say. I think she would be more critical. That's one of the things I actually liked about some of the guest artists that they would have on the show in years past, when they would actually say something that was critical, that was constructive, but it was critical.
I don't think Diana Ross has that personality.
Maybe
I,
not.
And you know, I sit here thinking, oh, you were marvelous. You reminded me of Michael Jackson.
You certainly can't bring Tony Bennett in there, you know.
I think you're all fantastic. You did a great job.
Your kids.
Yeah, I got herpes.
If it's a chick, you should just bring some stinky poon like Joan Jett.
Somebody hot. Yeah.
You know, how about Joan Jett just sitting there going, every answer is, I don't know.
Well, they talked about this. What about Courtney Love?
Yeah, sure.
Courtney Love, I mean, they've actually said that she might be somebody who would do that.
Paula Abdul is simply Courtney Love with hair and makeup.
Yeah,
right.
I agree. But Paula has extraordinary difficulty throwing words together. I mean, it's an amazing chat. It is so limited. Her time when she has, how much time is she responsible per singer? Is it, what, 11 seconds? And she's, I really think, well, you heard it on that tape. I don't, my words all over, spirit, phrasing.
Never finish.
Phrasing is what you do. I need another Xanax.
Cow, yo. Dog, I mean to say, yo, yo.
Let's all do our, what are you doing, hand positions on our heads.
Moose ears.
Best season ever.
That was their curse. That was their curse.
Saying that?
When they said this is the most talented group ever.
Make up your minds, please. It's not the best. It's the worst.
It may be.
Starting to love the show now because it's so bad.
Yep.
This is really where it turns.
Uh-huh.
If you know anything about me, uh-huh. This is where the vicious turns happens.
Yeah.
Right now we're turning on to I'm starting to hate you road. Not that I'm not going to keep watching.
Uh-huh. But we're all going to keep watching because we're hooked now.
I'm still on Simon Cowell's Hershey Highway. No doubt about that.
We've committed to it this year.
I can't drive 55 on that highway. I will go beyond the speed limit on the Simon Cowell Hershey Highway.
Oh, he'll make you bleed.
But on that show, the hatred draws you in almost as much as liking it because
mm-hmm. yeah.
you love making fun of how bad everybody
but
is.
But I used to love it like a teenage girl loves her teen idols.
Yeah, so. True.
And now it's just the repetition of Paula and Randy, the repetition every single week of doing the same thing because we can't think of anything really nice to say, so we're just going to turn it on Simon because Simon is telling the truth, and it is totally cheap. I hate it.
Maybe next season, since he has time, he plays Randy Jackson with Brett Favre.
Oh, for Favre.
Oh.
Now I'm watching.
That would be a good program.
That was a real good song, Danny. That was a good song you sang, Danny.
Are you a boy or a girl, Danny?
You know I always be true to you.
I was fixing to pick you whatnot. Where's my mama, Bonita?
I tell you, I seen a singer a few years back that sang a song like that, and you aren't as good as him. Thank you.
Let's go to Brett Favre. What did you think of that performance? Well, my favorite song, of course, is bang on the drum all day. We play that when we score a touchdown.
You know, I tell you, I was fixing to leave because I couldn't stand this singing tonight, but I'm fixing to stay now.
I reckon you can stay in this conversation if you did that one that goes, dun, da, dun, da, dun, da, dun, hey, da, dun, da, dun. I like that one.
Weren't it good we got you all together and did that song you was doing? Last time I remember being fixing to like a song or whatnot as much as that one might have been Achy Breaky Heart.
I reckon that was as good as a tractor made of ham.
It ain't no skip to the loo, my darling. I'm going to talk to Buford, my big bass hound.
Yeah, put professional athletes up there.
I like it.
Put Sir Charles in there.
You know what, Mike? You put two dumb guys with Sir Charles. You put, and Peyton Manning is not dumb, but he doesn't have a personality.
Right.
So you put the dumb guy, who's the first guy you just said?
Sir Charles.
Charles Barkley's the third.
Peyton, you put Charles Barkley where Randy is.
Peyton Manning is Paula Abdul, because he could do that and he can verbalize that. Uh-huh. And then you've got Brett Favre as Randy Jackson.
That'd be fantastic. Be very, very exciting.
You know, Peyton Manning would just be, well, listen, here's the deal. You got to work harder. You got to get in. You got to apply yourself. You hit some pitchy notes. I'm proud of you. Drop and give me 20.
I'd love that. I'd adore that. It would be a shakeup. It would be very exciting.
And Brett Favre would just be awful like, where are these songs that ye are picking?
Or you could just have celebrities with annoying voices. You have Fran Drescher, Jennifer Tilly, and then slide somebody else with an annoying voice
the
in there.
The blueberry pancake lady.
Yeah.
Yes, man. From too Pulp obscure. Fiction.
I like the blueberry pancakes. Well, we'll still watch it.
Sure. Of course we will. Buzz, you should start watching it only if we're going to start hating it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You might want to get on the bandwagon now.
We can all hate together.
Because it's been nothing but love. Now it's gonna be a two-way street with us in American mm-hmm. Idol.
And nothing really, you know, as you crave the drama, you crave the melodrama on that show, and really nothing happens during these segments of the show until the results come in.
It's so off my radar, but I did remember to tune in for like the last 10 minutes, and I heard the part where everybody booed Simon toward the end.
Yeah, that's very unusual.
To be honest, you were okay in bits, but I thought it was much more cabaret than last week. I'm not sure that... You can boo all you want.
Keep booing,
right?
Keep booing.
See. That's you know, that. Okay, Randy, shut the hell up.
You know what that
right?
is? It's like WWE.
Uh-huh.
You know, right. It's like, here he is, the bad guy, undefeated. He's called people cabaret performers. He's told them to go home. Simon Cowell.
Keep booing, keep booing. What are you doing?
Bush baby.
Well, I like it. Randy occasionally can offer some constructive criticism, and I wish he'd do more of that instead of picking on Simon Cowell. I hate that. It drives me nuts. It really does.
I think it's because he's stuck there. He doesn't know what to do. It's like Paula Abdul is the giant speed bump.
Yeah, he's got the pill bottle in between.
Right.
You know, he can't do anything.
Randy Jackson at least can articulate it with his dog what's up or whatever. He can say good, bad, indifferent, good song choice, bad choice, song choice.
And I think he's got a knowledge of music that's greater than anybody up there. He knows the songs.
He certainly knows more songs than Simon Cowell does.
Simon doesn't know any songs. That's what I love about Simon. He's a record company executive, and he doesn't know music.
Doesn't matter.
I've never had that song before. Well, somebody sang it last week. Well, all right. I've never heard that song before.
All right. You can boo all you want.
Boo.
Shut up. Off you go.
It is very hokey. It's almost like at the beginning, well, to tie this all up, like at the beginning of the Regis show, when Regis and Kelly Lee come out and their producer, you see him running around like a hamster in a cage going, come on, let's hear it for them.
Yeah, it's jive that way.
Yeah, really. Boo.
Boo.
Boo, American Idol.
What are you doing?
Boo.
What are Bush you
baby.
Doing?
I can only save it if one of those chicks breaks down tonight. Yeah.
She won't break down tonight?
No, that's right. It's a performance night. But there's the chance that a performance could go bad because they did make a big deal about they were live last night.
Maybe if they tweaked up the stakes a little bit, like, for example, when they vote a contestant off, they look at them and they're not allowed to ever sing again. Not even in the shower, darling. You're not able to ever open your mouth and make a melody again in your life.
And what about somebody like the kid with purple hair?
Danny Noriega.
Wouldn't it be great to say... Sterilization.
Yes, involuntary. They're back with the tweezers. Involuntary sterilization for you.
You might be okay with
good
that.
Luck off with you then.
Now, if I was the other kid, Hernandez, I would come out with the shirt off and the bow tie with the, around the neck. I'd play up the stripping game.
Cash in on it. Like sure. I would too.
Maybe shake your moneymaker a little bit.
Yeah, walk right up to Paula Abdul.
Just sit on Simon's lap.
Shove it right in her face.
Yeah. Yeah, give her the old watchtower, you know, right there. Ding, dang, doom.
Not like she's not been in that position before. My
many,
God.
Many times.
With many ding, dang, dooms banging down.
He just walks up.
In front of her Botoxy cheeks.
If he had, you know, he's the most athletic of all the male contestants. He could do one of the jumps right up where he, you know, jumps right onto the little platform and, you know, straddles her Coca-Cola.
Teabags her.
Or teabags her Coca-Cola.
That would be even better. And it makes you drink it. Even better.
Oh, we love it.
We got a break. We'll be back. More of this coming. Same crowd.
This is the Don and Mike Show.